Larry Gilbert, pastor here. Glad to have all of you here this morning. We're going to begin this morning by joining together in our gathering chorus. It's number 347 in your hymnal this morning, Spirit Song number 347. I invite us to stand as we are able this morning as we share in number 347.
Announcements for the week. I want to call your special attention to the fundraiser that is happening this evening for Lori Brown at the community center. It'll be from 5 to 7. Lori has gone through some cancer surgery and has some treatments yet to go through, and this is a fundraiser to help offset those medical expenses. So if you can, please go out and enjoy the fish and enjoy the fellowship. We also have a fish fry coming up on October the 14th, and that'll be from 4 to 6 p.m., just to call your attention to that, as well as this week the card class will be meeting. So look at the announcements that are on the screens, on your bulletin, and online for any of the others. And if you have questions, just give the office a call. At this point in time of our service, we'll begin with the prelude and the lighting of our candles. If you have a candle at home and would like to join us in bringing the light of Christ into your home, please light them at this time. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. The Christian church touches every corner of the world. People of every color and nationality call Jesus Lord.
We all share one faith, one hope.
If you would please stand if you were able and join in singing The Church One's Foundation, hymn number 545, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Invite you this morning, if you would, to reach for this little book, the little black book. It's in your pew there. And hey, I'm throwing you another curve this morning, so we're changing choruses again, all right? We are on number 2065. 2065, more precious than silver. And it's a really short chorus, so Dean, you're going to get your wish. We're going to sing it twice, okay? All right, so we're going to go through this one a couple times this morning. Lord, you are more precious than silver.
Thank you.
Sunday. So the call to worship celebrates the fact that we are a body of people that span the globe. Everywhere there is the Christian community. Sometimes we're a dominant presence, many times we're not. We often share the stage with a variety of other different religions. But people of every color, every race, every creed, every language share in the faith that we hold in God through Jesus Christ. And it binds us together. And yet at the same time, we are as different as people can be, which is kind of a unique thing about us. We hold that common ground, and yet we do that as individuals. And as a result of that, well, we're people. And sometimes our differences are greater than our common ground. So today, as we pray together for guidance, for leadership, for the church, help us to pray together for a sense of unity, a sense of what we hold together. The choruses that we've been singing, I learned to sing as a part of the Emmaus community, which is a community of a lot of different denominations which came together to celebrate one thing, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And in spite of our differences, we work together, and I think changed my life, changed a lot of people's lives in response to that. When the church can be together, when we can function together, there is an incredible power in that unity. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for calling us together in your name, for calling us together this morning to worship you and to be a part of that experience together. You know, Lord, I celebrate this morning that you quite willingly and openly accept our uniqueness and our differences. Not only our differences in belief, our differences of opinion, the differences in the way we look and the way we act, and even around the world, the way we speak, the cultures in which we live. And yet, Lord, you offer us a common ground on which to stand and build our lives. And God, we thank you for that. May your unity, Lord, bind us together. May the love that we share be stronger than the other things that are a part of our lives and our world. And may we celebrate, God, what we hold together, but the uniqueness we bring as well, and the vastness of the gifts and graces that it offers to your church. So, Lord, guide us and direct us as your people, that the great power that you have placed in the church might continue to reach out and transform the world one life at a time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our prayer reader will come forth at this time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we have several joys and concerns. After each, please say, Lord, hear our prayers. Continue to lift prayers for Kenny Clark. He is now home. They believe the low kidney function, along with some medication, was causing the low blood pressure. Adjustments have been made with his recuperation at home, along with rechecks. Please lift up Sharon Runge's granddaughter, Sierra. Sierra lost her best friend, Colton Foley, in a car accident last night.
Lord, hear our prayers.
There's an unspoken prayer request. God knows who, what, and why. Please fill your prayers for this individual. Lord, hear our prayers. We have a joy from Doris Kiesling. Her granddaughter, Emma Kiesling, got engaged last Sunday. Lord, hear our prayers. We have a joy from Jackie Kuntz. Her mother, Dolores Johnson, got to go home from rehab. Lord, hear our prayers. We have a concern from Jackie Kuntz, her mother, how she is going to do when she gets home with help. Lord, hear our prayers. Phil Gillespie has a joy and concern. He got a report from the radiologist. Everything is stable. This coming week, he has an appointment with the oncologist. Lord, hear our prayers. Angie Etchen has two joys. Marvin Etchen's cataract surgery went well. Lord, hear our prayer. Michaela Etchen, meds seem to be leveling out. Lord, hear our prayers. Alita Massey has a concern. Several family members are facing health issues. Lord, hear our prayers.
Invite us to be in an attitude of prayer this morning as we continue in worship together. And as always, I invite you to be in prayer in your pew. But if you'd like, feel free to come and join me at the altar this morning as we spend this time in prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you this morning, Lord, one more time, to share our thoughts and our hearts with you, in the confidence and in the assurance, Lord, that you hear our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or whether we only offer them in our hearts this morning, that it's all the same to you. We are reminded this morning that as we gather in our own town, Lord, there are hundreds who gather with us, in the area, thousands who gather with us, who in their own ways, Lord, are worshiping you in a variety of different settings, in a variety of different times. And we're thankful for them. And Lord, we pray for your church this morning, that as in places in the world that it grows and in places in the world that it decreases, that the world as a whole, Lord, can continue to feel the impact of your message of grace and peace and love, and that your Spirit, Lord, continue to be in the role of transforming hearts and lives. We lift that, Lord, before you. Lord, as always, we are caught by the contrast of the sharing this morning, the joys that are a part of life, the joys of relationships that are blossoming, the joys, Lord, of caring for one another, and yet, Lord, the concerns as well. Tragic loss of life. Individuals who struggle with health concerns. And Lord, those who struggle in relationships and home and so many other things, God. God, we lift them up to you. You know, Lord, we know, as we spend this time in prayer, that we're not telling you anything you don't already know. But we're so appreciative, God, that you want to listen to the joys and the concerns of our own hearts and our own lives, and that they touch you, and they impact the world in which we live in ways, God, that many times we don't understand and cannot know. But we trust in faith, Lord, that that is true. And so, Lord, we lift these prayers to you this morning. We ask, God, that you use your wisdom and your power to be in the life of each and every one of these individuals, helping to celebrate their joys, helping to comfort in their losses, touching to bring healing and wholeness where it needs to be brought. God, hear our prayers this morning as we raise them to you. And God, hear our prayer as we come together now to pray together, Lord, the prayer that you have taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to recognize our offering and the giving of our offering this morning. Our offering plate is located outside of the sanctuary in the vestibule for those of you who'd like to contribute this morning. For those of you who are online, you can give online or sending your donations to the church. Any way you'd like to do that works well. Let us pray again for our offering this morning. Gracious and loving God, for the gifts and graces that are offered to your church, may you bless them and use them for the spreading and the sharing of your gospel and the redeeming of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 558, We Are the Church, and you may remain seated as we sing verses 1, 2, 4. 1, 2, and 4. We Are the Church.
Scripture reading today comes from James 5, 19 through 20. I'll be reading from the International Version. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. May God add a reading or add a blessing to his reading.
You ever watch I Love Lucy? I used to watch that as a kid sometimes. It was a comedy series, and Lucille Ball played Lucy and her husband Desi Arnaz, and then the other couple that was there were the Mertz, right? Isn't that right? Fred and Ethel Mertz, yeah. And the comedy oftentimes followed the same type of scenario in that this was how it developed. Lucy, a lot of times, would have this great idea, this grand idea about something that needed to be done or something she was going to do. And, you know, it was usually a good thing. I mean, she wasn't a bad person. She was usually doing a good thing. But the way that she would go about it was almost always going to spell disaster. And a lot of times her close friend Ethel would say, you know, you can't do that or you shouldn't do that. Or somebody else would try to tell her, you know, don't do it that way. But, of course, she never listened to that. And the comedy was always the fact that whatever she did, it turned out to be a disaster. And she was humiliated or got in trouble or it all went bad. And as a kid, I remember I did watch it some, but I was always really uncomfortable because as a kid, you don't like to get in trouble. You know, you're not supposed to make bad decisions which lead to those types of things. And that was the whole show. That was how it was built, was the fact that she would do that and then those things would happen to her. And so I was always wanting to tell her through the TV, don't do that. Don't make that decision. Go the listen to the people who are around you. But, of course, she never did. You know, it's funny that what can be funny on television is oftentimes not funny at all in real life. You know, how many times have we lived through or been in that situation where either we were or we were watching someone do the exact same thing that Lucy did? Might have a grand idea, might be doing the right thing, but going about it all the wrong way. Or somebody who was just, they were just making bad decisions. They were just, maybe they were developing bad habits, or maybe they had started running with the wrong crowd. And you were watching that. And what do? You know, James, as he ends his book, brings up these verses and talks specifically about that particular challenge and, I think, to a certain degree, danger that is present in our lives and in our world. And he lifts that up and says that that is a part of the responsibility of being a part of the Christian church. He speaks specifically to those situations in which we as individuals look at those who gather around us. Maybe it's someone we know. Maybe it's someone we care about. Maybe it's someone we love. And we are there in that situation watching them do the wrong things, watching them make bad decisions, watching them as what's now kind of an old song, Josh Turner's song, The Long Black Train. Watching them get on the long black train. If you remember the song, the last lyrics about it is, its only destination is the middle of nowhere. And we know that if this is the course of action they continue, this is the course of action they pursue, then that's where they're going to end up, in the middle of nowhere. This is not going to turn out well. And it's not going to be funny like it was for Lucy. But it's going to be real people. And there's going to be real hurt. And there's going to be real pain. And James here lifts up a responsibility to try to intercede in those situations. He says it very clearly. Anybody who intercedes in those situations and takes on that responsibility takes on a real challenge. And what's the challenge? Well, just think about it. How much do you enjoy somebody coming up to you and saying, you're wrong? What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is going to be hurtful. What you're doing is not the right thing to do. I don't know about you, but I love that. I mean, I love people walking up and saying, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing it the wrong way. I mean, we really enjoy that, don't we? And so we don't, and we know that. And we resist that information when it's told us. It doesn't matter how truthful it is, we just don't like it. And I'm not sure why. I mean, I think there's a long list for that. I think of my own life and my own situation, and sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's that pride that can be joined with a little bit of arrogance about, who are you to tell me you're not the boss of me? And you're right, you're not, you know? But sometimes it's also stubbornness, isn't it? You ever know you're wrong, but you refuse to admit it? You know, They laugh about guys all the time who get lost and we won't ask for directions. Hey, the same thing's true with life. You know, sometimes we get lost and somebody's trying to give us directions and we are completely oblivious to that. I don't want your help. I don't want your directions. I don't want your advice. I don't want your counsel. And I think sometimes it's fear. Sometimes we fear that the domino effect, that if I admit to this wrong, then there's a whole series of wrongs behind it that I got to admit to as well. And that seems crushing. And it seems overwhelming to us in regard to that. But you know, I spent a little time this week. I was looking in the book of Proverbs about this, because Proverbs are exactly that. It's the writings of King Solomon for one, but probably others as well, who just try to give us little bits of wisdom. And you know, I just glanced through the book for 10 minutes, and this is what I read. This is how the Bible sees persons who are willing to receive correction, or what they use sometimes the term discipline. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. I think this is my favorite. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. That is about as blunt as you can get, isn't it? Yeah. Need to get a softer translation, I think. You like it? Yeah. 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 Don't share it all in the same verse, though, okay? Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Mockers resist correction, so they avoid the wise. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. So what we get in that, and another biblical stories, and we could talk about this for a long time, is the idea, at least from the biblical perspective, that the person who was willing to listen and take to heart the wise counsel of others about concerns that they have or about errors in their life or issues that are a part of their world, that's really wisdom. And that's the way that we should live with one another in regard to that. And yet it's still so many times so hard for us to put away pride and arrogance and stubbornness and fear to listen to that and take that kind of counsel to heart. You know, and there's a danger in this, because what the scripture's really saying here is that when you live in Christian community together, you're not just responsible for yourself, but there is a sense in which we are responsible for and to each other. And so there is this burden we carry, not only for our own selves, but for those who are around us in the community of faith, that we have that responsibility to go to that brother or sister and share our concerns with them. But the problem with that is, isn't there always a hint of arrogance in that? That I know better than you? And so we have to be so careful about that, that we're not just being bossy, because we've all been around people who are bossy, you know. I run my life and I run your life too, if you'll let me. But this isn't that. This is a brother or sister who comes out of love, not out of bossiness, not out of arrogance, but out of love, to share real, truthful concerns that are a part of their lives as they watch for one another in the midst of that. And so how do we do that? Well, I think one, I think you have to recognize a relationship. There are people I can talk to that you can't talk to, and people you can talk to that I can't talk to. And that's just the reality of the situation. But the hard part of that is the people who probably have the greatest influence in your life also have the greatest investment in your life. And they have to be willing to put that relationship on the line to step forward to confront you, to intercede in your world and in your life. And friends, that's not an easy thing to do. But that's what has to be done. In many of these situations, that's what has to be done. And at the same time, at least I think it is, if you're in that situation and if you're watching that, then I think it's really good to seek the advice and counsel of others to see if they share your concern with you. If I'm concerned about someone, maybe someone else is concerned about them too. And two heads are better than one, and three are better than two. And so it's not just your voice, but it's the voice of other concerned individuals who are part of that. That you check that by checking with others who you trust and who you would approve of, and ask their advice and their opinion as well before you speak. And then the one thing I think you have to do, you have to be truthful. Truth is the greatest weapon we have. Truth is the most powerful thing we can get a hold of. And in these situations, you can't let go of it. You got to hang on to it. You got to share what is honest and what is truthful and what is real. James lifts this up at the very close of his books. The last words he shares in his letter are these words. And I don't think it's just because it's hard. I think it's because it offers so much to the life of the church. And James spells that out there. He says, when you do this and are successful at it, you save a life from pain. You save a life from suffering. You save a life from disaster. And yet, at the same time, you cover a multitude of sins. You eliminate those from the story and from the process by doing this. And it's important for us to note that James isn't the only person who felt this way. I was listening recently to a pastor who was talking about the book of Philippians, and toward the end of the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi, and Paul writes about and mentions the names. He names these individuals, two ladies from that church. And Paul says, I respect these ladies. I've worked side by side by these ladies, and now they've had a falling out. We don't know what the falling out was about. We don't know what happened. We don't know anything about those circumstances. We only know, Paul says, as the church, help them heal that. Step into that situation. Inject yourself in there to try to bring healing and wholeness in the midst of that. Paul saw this as a responsibility of the church. James sees this as a responsibility of the church. It's not one that we ever take lightly. It's not one that's easy. It's not one that we usually welcome. It's kind of easy to be bossy. But it's much more difficult to lay your heart out on the line and with love try to intercede in the life of someone you care about. Yet James says that is a part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Wow, it's a hard one, God. Because it's never guaranteed, Lord. You don't say if you do it, it'll always turn out right. And everybody will always listen and it's all going to be better afterwards. We all know, Lord, from our own life experience, that sometimes that's not true. And yet, Lord, still you call us to make the effort, to put forth the try. And so, Lord, we pray for your guidance and your wisdom, that when this rolls around in our world, in our life, and either someone is speaking to us or we're speaking to someone else, that we will have a heart of wisdom and an ear to hear and a mouth to speak, that you can bless that, God, and heal wounds and cover a multitude of sins. In your name we pray. Amen. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's beautiful. That was beautiful. Our communion hymn this morning is number 618. You may remain seated as we sing 618, Let Us Break Bread Together. For those of you who are watching online, I invite you to join us in this act of Holy Communion. If you have a bread of some kind and some kind of a beverage at your home, then I invite you to get that and to exercise this with us this morning. We remember on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, as he gathered with the disciples to eat a meal with them, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. As oft as you eat of it, remember me." Later in the evening, he took a cup and he filled it with wine. And he blessed it and he passed it among his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this cup is my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink of it, remember me." I think it's significant that as we celebrate this act of Holy Communion, we do so with the two elements that were probably the most common at a Jewish table, bread and wine, because Jesus wanted us to think of him as often as we sat at the table. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, would you bless the loaf and the cup today, that as we receive them, we receive you, and by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, would you consecrate them, that as we receive them, we receive you as a part of who we are, and we a part of who you are. Bind us together, Lord, through this common act. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are assisting this morning in the serving of communion, if they'd make their way forward at this time. As they do, I just want to mention the fact that we'll have an intinction station at each aisle, and then in the middle, we'll have the individual cups and wafers, if you would prefer that form. If you're taking by intinction, you'll be given a small piece of bread and dipping that in the cup to receive the elements in that way. I invite you to come. invite you to stand as we are able for our closing prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we gather as the people who gather all around the world, Lord. We celebrate, Lord, your presence in our midst. We are sent, Lord, from this place out into the world to bring the uniqueness of the message that you share, a message of grace, a message of love, a message of hope, a message of power. We pray, God, that our lives that are lived in the communities in which we live and the homes in which we dwell may share the goodness of your love. Take us, Lord, from this place out into the world that we may be your salt and your light and your yeast as we touch and interact with the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week.